Thank the Lord for being with you today. I'm going to write the thought in my heart. Seemed like that's what the Lord gave me, inspired me with. I was thinking about in the Bible, if we could turn to Genesis, most of us think about Abraham. As I'm ministering, I may paraphrase some of the verses, but in Genesis 15, we'd like to read about Abraham. He was a friend of God. We want to be a friend of God. And like we heard about the sheep, Jesus is our friend too, right? So Abram in the 15:2, Abram said, Lord God, he was talking to him that he was childless. And he thought that the steward that was over his household would actually inherit everything, that he would be the heir. But he said in the fourth verse again, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, your steward of your household. He is not going to be your heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. We know how old Abraham was when Sarah had a child, 100 years old. And I think she was 90. But this was impossible to man. But nothing is impossible with God, right? And he was a friend. And the thing is about Abraham is he believed. He believed what God told him. He said, that's what I love about that. He said he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. So when we are a friend of God, that's one thing that we must have is faith. There's many things that you might think about. This is one thing that we must have. We must have faith. We must have righteousness in our life. If we're a friend of God, we should be righteous. We should be holy. And faith is connected with that, okay? And then if you go on, in the 18th verse, it says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So he was promising again and saying this to him, that you are going to have a child. We want to go over into the 17th chapter, and it goes on to say, when he began to tell him, you're going to have a child, and he made a covenant. Now, that's another thing I wanted to bring out with, when we're a friend of God, we make covenants with God. We make promises. We mentioned when we got saved, we said, Lord, we want to be saved. We're making a promise that we're going to quit sinning. By your grace, if you save us and give us help over sin, give us power over sin, we make a covenant with you that we're going to quit that kind of life. We're going to live for you. So faith, righteousness, and covenants and promises is part of being a friend of God, these things. So covenants and promises. And then it goes on, it says in the 17th verse of the 17th chapter, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Now this, I was looking this up, this kind of laugh that he had, it wasn't that he didn't believe. We could get confused. It was because he laughed for joy. So I studied this out. He laughed for joy. And, you know, it says, and it went on, and Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, no, it's not going to be Ishmael completely. But Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Then God went as far as to call his name. He named Isaac. So I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, if God named Isaac, then Isaac must mean something. I want to know what Isaac means. So I looked up, what does Isaac mean? It means to laugh or to be full, to rejoice. And it's all connected because they laugh for joy, and his name meant to laugh or to rejoice. That's what Isaac means. And it's amazing, too, that Isaac is a very popular name. In today's time, 34% of men are named Isaac in America, in the United States. But that means it's a Bible name. It means to rejoice or to be happy. So that was, I just wonder about our names, you know. But we are called the child of God. No matter what our name is or what our mother named us, we are the children of God. We're the children of God. We're his friend. Now, just because God is our friend does not put him on our level. He is our king. He is our king. He created us. And this is what amazes me about Abraham. Even call Abraham a friend of God. But Abraham was just a person like us, right? He was just a person, and we're just people that God created. What I'm trying to say is, but it's an honor to be a friend of God. You see what I mean? And communication is another thing. When you have communication with a friend, don't you? Communication with God. God tells us secrets. Yes. He gives us dreams. He talks to us. I want to stay on this subject, but I just want to briefly mention this because it was amazing. On Mother's Day, God gave me a dream because I've been wondering. My mom is so far away. She's 88 years old now. And before Mother's Day, I've been praying and wondering, you know, when is mom going to, you know, pass or whatever? I want to be there. I want to be as close. Maybe I won't be there, you know, because I live so far. But I want to make sure I see her enough. You know what I mean? Because I only get to maybe go a couple times a year. Maybe three times sometimes, but usually it's a couple times. But I said, Lord, I don't want to miss that time I'm supposed to go see my mom, because she will not always be here. But God gave me a dream on Mother's Day, and she came to me, and she was just so real. And she hugged me. And she says, I'm staying longer. And I said, oh, Mom, that is so wonderful. It is so wonderful. And she said, I need to be with you more. I'm staying longer. And she hugged me two times. That was the end of the dream. But what I'm saying, her birthday came up and she was 88. You know, she's staying and she's doing pretty well. And my sister is amazed. But what I'm trying to say is, that's just one thing. You know how you're a friend to God. You know how God talks to you. That's an amazing thing. That's a wonderful thing that God talks to us. We're just little beings that God, human beings that God created. But yes, he wants to be close to us. Like Jerry was saying in Sunday school, he wants us to be special, even though angels are very special, but angels were created to be holy. But we chose God. We chose to love him. We chose to be his friend. And that's where we get to be special too, right? And not taking anything away from the angels, but I'm just saying, you know, he made us so we chose him. And we can sing a song the angels can't sing, because we can sing the song of redemption. And it's a wonderful thing to know that God is my friend. You know, I would think in the hour of temptation, this one thought that Jesus is my friend, and God is my friend. I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want to do something. This has helped me in hours of temptation. I don't want to do anything to displease God. Sure, I don't want to displease the saints. I don't want to displease my husband or anybody else, but God is the number one. I don't want to hurt him. I love him too much. He's been too good to me. He has been my true friend. And I don't want to do anything to hurt God. And if I do mess up, I ask him to forgive me. I'm talking about not going out and sinning, but you know what I mean. Little things. But you know what? You can ask God to forgive you because he loves you and you belong to him. He understands you better than anybody else. God understands. He's a true friend. And we want to be a friend to Jesus. We want to be friend. There's a little song that says, I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life on earth, I'll spend. I don't know if I wrote down those words. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my years shall end. I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for him I'll spend. This is a covenant. When you say, I'm going to be your friend, God, I'm not going to let you go, I'm going to be with you to the very end, that is a promise. You may live many years. Since I've been saved this November, I got saved in 1971. It'll be 50 years we've been married, and we got saved just before we were married. It's been a long time. But you know what? God has kept us saved. He's kept us encouraged. And I expect he will to our dying day. God has been our friend. Yes, God has been our Savior. He's been everything to us. But that friendship brings it close. I think if people could get a hold of that, people that first get saved, you know, I remember talking to one lady once in real estate. I was telling her about how God answered prayer and how God does this, how God talks to me. She said, how do you relate like this to God? She goes, to me, she said, God is way far away somewhere, way up there so far away. She couldn't bring him in her heart like a friend. This is what I'm saying today. If when we can bring God close to us, like draw nigh to God, and he's our friend, it makes a whole difference how we serve him. Because we're serving him out of love and devotion and friendship, and it's just a closeness. You know, it's bringing God closer to us than think he's way far away. So why do you think that when you live and move and you have your being from God? You're just part of God. You know, praise the Lord. I don't think I'm saying that wrong. We live and move and we have our being. That's scripture. We live and move and we breathe and everything, the breath of life, everything is from God. I just thank him. So anyway, my covenant, it goes on to say, and God said, Sarah, in the 19th verse of 17, shall bear thee a son indeed, and shall call his name Isaac. God named him. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And then it goes on, and the 21st verse, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And you know, if you read some of this, Sarah laughed too. But you know, when they said, you laughed, and she said, no, I didn't laugh, because she was kind of afraid. You indeed did laugh. This is nothing about God being our friend. He knows everything. You might as well be honest with him. You might as well, when you go to prayer, don't make excuses, because he knows everything. I've done that before. I've got down to pray about something. Well, Lord, yeah, I did this. I acted that way, but you know why. And I try to make excuses. And I say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I should not make excuses. I should own up for what I did. I need more grace. I need more strength from you. You know, I need more Marcia out of me, right? I need more. We all do sometimes. I need that part out of us, our humanity. But you know what? God still loves us. I thought about Peter. Was not Peter a friend to God? Peter loved God. He was the one that jumped out of the boat. He jumped out of the boat. You know, you all can stay in the boat if you want to, but you know, this is Jesus. I'm going to him. Well, Peter, what are you doing? You can't walk on water. Sure I can. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can walk on water. And he did for a while. Then he started, just like us, in our troubles and trials, we start looking around, how am I doing this? He started doubting, and then he lifted him up, and Jesus, oh, thou little faith. He just lifted him right out of the water again. But you know, I was just thinking how Peter was presumptuous, and he was fast at things. Kind of like my personality, really. I mean, I just can't. I tell Jerry, sometimes he tells me to slow down, but it's like, it's part of me. It's hard to slow down. It's hard for him to speed up, but it's hard to be different, but we're different, right? But God made us that for a reason, right? To balance us out. And so, you know what? Yes, it is wisdom sometimes for me to slow down, and I try hard sometimes to slow down. But yet, that's me. And you know what? I do everything fast. I cook and everything. Sometimes I make quite a mess because I cook so fast. But you know, Peter, he was that way, but he loved God. And I want to think that Peter was a really good friend to God. And remember when he said, Peter said, oh, I love you. I'll go with you to the death. I'm paraphrasing. I'll go with you to the death. I love you. I'm sticking right with you. He said, and when the cock crows the third time, you will deny me. See, he didn't think he would do it, but he did. And God knew him better than he knew himself. But he was afraid. It wasn't that he didn't love God. He was afraid they're going to take him out and put him on a cross or something, you know. So he said, oh, no, I don't know him. I don't know him. But then he was very sorry. Very sorry he made that mistake. He was so sorry. And God forgave him. And when he came out the tomb and Jesus arose, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. He wanted him to know that I have forgiven you, Peter. You're one of my disciples still. You still belong to me. So see how this is wonderful about being God's friend. You know, I want to read just a little bit of what, in the 18th chapter, what Abraham did. I think it was mentioned earlier about angels unawares. But this is what I want to get at is, remember when God said, should I hide this? He was going to go down and check on Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was going to see. If it was wicked as it was, he was going to destroy him. But he said, should I hide this thing from Abraham, who's my friend? Now listen, we got to get a hold of this. This is so wonderful. This is God. Okay, we're going to read this. Let's read this. We'll go read up to it. In the third verse of 18th chapter, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water. When these three men came to the tent, Abraham said, get water, wash your feet, rest yourselves under the tree. I will fetch a morsel of bread, comfort ye your hearts. And he said, he told Sarah, he hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And then he told his, Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man and hastened to dress it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? He said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now if you read up above that, the Lord appeared there, and it says, and he lifted up his eyes, Abraham did, and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him, and he saw them. He ran to meet them. So it sounds to me like it was like the Lord and 2 angel unawares. That's kind of what I'm thinking. And Abraham, but he treated him so kind. This is another thing I think about being a friend to God, is kindness. Any time that you get out of kindness, you're getting out of the territory of friendship with God. He is a kind God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. And he wants us to be the same way. Just the same way. So it says here, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I thought about that song. There's nothing. It says, who can do, who can do, who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord and Savior. He can do anything. This is another thing. It's wonderful to be a friend of God because you're going to need him. You're going to need him one of these times. And I thought about that little story, and I won't tell. It's kind of a long story, but I'll just try to shorten it. I've heard different ways about it, but the one that I'm thinking of, I heard that Jim went into the chapel, and he prayed at the altar or something. He would go visit. That's the way I heard it once. I've heard it different ways. But the thought is that he would say, Jesus, this is Jim. you know, he didn't pray a whole lot maybe, but he, you know, he just wanted to say that. And, you know, that's the way with us lots of times. We go to God and we pray and we don't really, do you feel that in your life? You don't really feel anything always? You pray, you know, you believe that God's hearing you, but you just don't feel anything at the moment. And then all of a sudden, God comes to you and says, Marcia, this is Jesus. He gives you something. He visits you and gives you a blessing. But all along, you were his friend all along. Maybe he wasn't talking right at that moment, but you could hear him in your heart. But he comes to you when you need him because you've been his friend. That's what happened to Jim when he was dying. He said, Jesus visited him and said, Jim, this is Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful story? So this is, we want to be a friend to the Lord. But this kindness that Abraham had, does it not say entertain strangers unaware because you might entertain angels? And then this verse that I really want to get is the 17th verse of 18. And the Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and it because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. So what I want to try to get is like, could that be us sometime? I know we're not, I'm not saying we're equal to Abraham or anything, but we're, well, we're God's friend. If we're really God's friend, could it be that sometime God's going to do something in our lives? Maybe something in our life, maybe something's going to happen that's good or bad. Like with my mom, God told me she's going to stay longer. Or maybe something else is going to happen, and maybe God's going to think, shall I hide this from them? Because I know them. I know they're my friend, and I know that they, you know, he's the great king, the great I am. He knows everything. He knows if any kind of tragic is going to come to America. He knows everything, right? He could warn his children. He could talk to us. He could, have you ever felt like, well, maybe you shouldn't go a certain place. Now, sometimes, and I know we don't want to get under a strain about this, like it'd be ridiculous about it. But if don't push against things that's being blocked. You know what I mean? Because there could be a reason God's blocking it right then. So don't push against that, because God knows, and sometimes he protects us by telling us, no, don't do such and such, or don't go such and such. Follow your inner spirit. Follow what God talks to you, because sometimes God is warning us to protect us. But he said, shall I hide it? He didn't hide it from Abraham. And then we go on with the story. Abraham said, draw near, and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he talked to God. What if it be 50? What if it be 45? Goes on to say, what if it be 30? What if it be 20? What if there's only 10? And the preadventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Oh, may God help us. I just want to get closer to God. Don't you want to get closer? And just be a real friend to God. Be a friend where he'll talk to you, for he'll tell you things. He'll commune with you. It might not be the exact same thing, but it'll be different things in our life that the Lord will commune with us and be a friend to us. And, you know, this is a wonderful thing, just wonderful. I like to turn over here at St. John 15 and 13. That's really good scripture here. 15 and 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You must know that Jesus is your friend when he gave his life for you and I. What else could he do? How else could he prove that he loved us? That he died for us? That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Not that he died and suffered, I don't mean that. But because he was willing to do that, that we could be saved. It says, how greater love. If you had a friend that, you know, I remember reading the story about, is it Philip Bliss? Maybe it's such a guy named Philip Bliss. He was in a train accident. And he wrote many, many songs. He was a pretty young man, and he had a wife. And he got out of the train. He could have saved his life. But his wife was trapped in there, and he thought, I'll go back in there. He gave his life, really, for his wife. Because he went back in there, and it couldn't save her. They both perished. But the thing is, this is what God said. Isn't that a true friend that would do that? You know, one time up in Edmond, and we had an open house one time, and this lady would come, and she only had one leg. And I didn't want to ask her, you know, you just don't want to ask those. She was a beautiful woman, but she only had one leg. And she didn't have a artificial limb. It just showed. And she just dressed just like everyone else, but she didn't try to hide it. But, you know, I often thought to her, you know, what happened? What happened that she had her leg cut off like that? What happened to her? You know, one day she just kind of let me know by saying this. She goes, you know, if your child runs out in front of a car, you're going to go after the child. So I just got, that's probably what happened. I didn't ask her, but I figured that she probably went after the child and got hit by the car. But that's what a friend is. A mother has that love for their child, you know. And God has this great love to be our friend. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now see, that goes back to the covenant. To be a friend, you must have faith. You must make covenant and promises to God. He makes promises to you. You're commune with God. You have righteousness in your life. He talks with you, like that song, he walks and talks with me. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Just like he did not hide that from Abraham, he told Abraham what he was going to do, because he was a true, going to be his friend. And I thought about Moses. You know, Moses, I won't turn there, but Moses, he was like one of the meekest man on earth, except the one time that he said, must I strike this rock? But he was under terrible pressure leading the Israelites. But God said, okay, I'm going to have to chastise you for that. You can't go into Canaan, but I'll let you see. I'll let you see Canaan. Why did God do that? Because it's the law of God. He has to chastise us if we do wrong, because he wants us to be obedient, right? But God buried him. That's what I was going to say. What? Could you imagine being buried by God? Well, in some sense, he'll be there when we're buried. But he actually told Moses, walk up. And he was walking up the mountain. How old was Moses then? Old man. And he was walking. Yeah, he was over 80, and he was walking up the mountain for God to bury him. And I think it was about Mount Nebo, if I'm right. But anyway, God buried Moses because he was a true friend of God's. You think, well, why did God bury him? He didn't want nobody to know where he was buried. Why? Because they would worship Moses. They would worship that grave. They would build a temple there or whatever. He didn't want all that happening. Abraham Lincoln, I tell you what, they liked Abraham Lincoln. If you read the story about Abraham Lincoln, his son had a time because thieves came and tried to dig up Abraham Lincoln, and they caught him and they got his casket and all that, and they had to bury him again. They had all kinds of trouble till finally they were trying to worship him. See what I mean? Or they thought he was worth a lot of money if you could get his body. But finally, his son buried him in concrete. If you read the story, he poured concrete in the ground, and all around Abraham Lincoln, there's no way anybody can touch his body again. But you know what I'm trying to say? That's why God buried Moses. He did not want them to know where he was buried. He was a true friend to Moses, and Moses was his friend. So James 2 and 23, I'm so thankful for being God's friend. James 2 and 23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." I want to tell this little story here about what a friend we have in Jesus. When I sit down, I think it's 179, we could sing that. This Joseph Scriven, he was an Irish man. He was from Ireland. And the story goes, in 1844, he wrote the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." 1844, he was supposed to marry his sweetheart. And she was, you know, you go back, she was riding a horse, and he was riding towards her. They were supposed to meet somewhere the day before they got married. The horse was startled, and she was thrown off the horse, and her head hit a rock or something, killed her, and she was in the water. They recovered her body. About the time he got there, they were pulling her out of the water. Some people that came by or whatever. And he looked unto the face of his girlfriend that he was supposed to marry the next day. This Christian, he was a preacher. This is Christian. This is what he went through when he wrote the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." What a powerful statement that man did not get bitter. He did not get bitter. Instead, it drew him closer to God. Well, then in 1845, he decided, "I'm going to move to Canada." Now, why he wanted to get away from Ireland. Maybe he wanted to get away from the memories or whatever, but he wanted to go, so that's where he went, to Ontario, Canada. Okay, and then he started helping people. He spent his life for 40 years going around. They said he would walk down the road with a saw, and he would just cut lumber for people that were poor or widows or older people that could not do it themselves or people that were crippled. Whatever people that were needing, he did it. But he did not do it for money. He only did it for people that needed help. And he did many other good deeds, but that was how he spent his life. And, you know, then it goes on, and this is amazing, too. In 1854, just about 10 years later, he meets another girl he thinks he's going to get married to. He falls in love. And she's 23 years old, and she becomes sick a few weeks before they're supposed to get married and gets pneumonia and dies. So now his second love didn't get to marry her either. So then he just spent the rest of his life, about like 40 years total. I think it was 1886 he died, and he was drowned. That's kind of an accident. But anyway, he wrote the poem to his mother in Ireland because his mother was dying and he didn't have the means to get there. Now, so he wrote this letter and wrote this poem, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," to comfort his mother. And then somehow someone got a hold of this poem and made it and put music to it and published it. And for about a decade, they said 10 years, it was anonymous. They did not even know who wrote "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, Humble Man." But it's okay to tell if you wrote the song, you know. But I mean, he just didn't. But after 10 years, he finally told, he said, "The Lord and I wrote the song." And so this is how we got the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." You know, a lot of our things that we get is born out of heartaches. Born out of heartaches. You know, our testimonies in life. A lot of it's come out of tragedies or problems or, you know, that's part of the human race. But be a friend of God. This thought the Lord gave me. Be a true friend to God. And I don't think I read that. James 2 and 23. Oh, yes, I did read that. He was called the friend of God. Then I have a couple more scriptures in Revelation I want to read. Revelations 21 and 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." How could we ever get a better friend? Revelations 22 and 12. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So blessed are you today. If you know and you're a friend of God and he's your friend, that's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. And all we want to do is we want to draw closer and be a better friend. That's what I want to do. I want to be a better friend to God. Pray for us.